right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we start tonight's service by coming to you, lifting up some of the names of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we may not all know all those names or know them well. Maybe we know the name, the face, maybe just a handshake. Lord, but I pray that we'd be faithful in lifting up in prayer our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, especially here at the household of faith of this local assembly, Lord. We know that all churches have many big prayer lists, and Lord, we have many great friends that are part of other churches, and Lord, yet tonight we want to hone in on our church family. And Lord, we have quite a few that are just battling sicknesses, Lord, whether it's a lingering cough or pneumonia or a fractured rib, as Sharon Kempa. Lord, whether it's just a surgery that just doesn't seem to be getting any better, Lord, or slowly, Devin with his nose and septum area there, Lord, Joe with his knee. Lord, I know Barb Rott there with her arm. She didn't have surgery, but Lord, these can take a long time, and I'm sure that all of us would love for those things to heal quickly and be able to enjoy, Lord, more freedom in walking and moving and eating and breathing, but Lord, sometimes it's slow. Lord, you know, we know you have a purpose. Lord, there's a reason behind that. You can do anything you want at any time and give instant healing. And so, Lord, it's through those times of trial and affliction and testing that, Lord, we learn about ourselves. We see our flesh. We learn our inconsistencies. We see our weakness. We see your power, Lord, when we contrast you with us. And Lord, that you never change and that you're always good and full of power and full of majesty. And Lord, it's those times that we learn to love you deeper and know you more. We learn to rely more on prayer. We learn to rely on the scriptures, Lord, and seek you. And Lord, oftentimes when we're healthy and good and life is good and the finances are good, Lord, in our flesh, we forsake you. We forget you. We don't spend much time with you. So Lord, I pray that during each of these sicknesses, and whether it's the individual, their spouse, their family, their children, Lord, we know there's probably someone they know, a child, a family member, a grandchild, a neighbor that doesn't know the Lord, and maybe checking up on them. And Lord, it's during these times that they can be great testimonies of Christ's goodness and your faithfulness. So Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful in praying. And Lord, if we have the opportunity, as the Bible says, as we have the opportunity to do good unto all men, especially of the household of faith. And Lord, if we have wealth and money, the Bible says in 1 Timothy, we ought to be rich in good works and we ought to use our money wisely. Lord, perhaps we can alleviate a bill. Perhaps we can help out with a meal or two. Perhaps we can do something, Lord, more than just say we're praying for you. So Lord, I pray that we would lift up our brethren. Lord, some of these folks are maybe lonely. They live by themselves. They're long days and maybe a phone call tonight, Lord. A long email, a letter in the mail would cheer them up and encourage them. And I thank you for those who do those things on a regular basis. Lord, we ask your blessing tonight in the service. We ask your blessing as the teens even now are downstairs. The Word of God will be preached. We ask your blessing, Lord, over the young people, children down there hearing the Word of God. Our teachers who may be tired, who may be weary tonight, Lord, who have their own challenges, Lord, with their families, encourage and help them tonight, Lord, to love the young people. Be patient with them. Give them understanding and wisdom, discernment. May the boys and girls, the teens, know that they're loved, know that they're cared, know that they can go to the adults for help, Lord, prayer. We thank you for the privilege to meet on a cold, blustery January night, Lord, tonight. We ask your blessing on the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, what book of the Bible are we in? Philippians, all right, very good. Turn the Bible to the book of Philippians, that's toward the back, all right. Grab a Bible handy there, one of the pew Bibles. Grab your own Bible there. The book of Philippians, chapter number one here tonight. All right, as you're turning, Philippians, that's toward the back. That's in the middle of the Pauline epistles. Epistle, just another word of a, like a letter. One of the letters that Paul the Apostle wrote. Inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to a church or an individual. Philippians chapter number 1 is where we're going to be here tonight. Looking at a couple things. You've only got 2 days left if you're trying to get in your verse of the month and you've not yet said that. You can do it tonight. Would be a great night to get it in if you haven't. John 9, 4 and 5 will be a new verse as of Sunday morning. All right, so keep those things in mind. Cross and Towers Ministry tomorrow night at 6:30. Keep that in mind. They'd love to have you over there. Be over there no later than 6:15. Pray for Emily. She heads to the winter retreat tomorrow. We'll drive her over there tomorrow afternoon, late evening, if you would. She's got to be there by 6:15. All right, I'm looking through here. I think those are it. Men, don't forget about the winter retreat. I love it. I get to see registrations popping in from other churches. Had 3 from First Baptist of Easton. Had 6 or 8 from Cornerstone there. Pastor Tim Brubaker got a call from Phil Hunt. Uh-oh, he's challenging us now. Told me he's got like 23 to 25, all right? And we're the host church now. We don't have that many yet, so we've got to get our guys on the ball here, signed up and registered and ready to go. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. I like seeing some new names coming in, different people, and that's just a little over a week away, and so there's still plenty of time. Sign up. You can register online. You can pay now. You can pay the day of when you come. All of those things are good to go, all right? I hope you've been praying about it diligently, whether you're a lady or not. Pray for the men's retreat. Pray for God to get a hold of our men. Pray for God to get a hold of your man. Pray for God to get a hold of other men. Pray for God to get a hold of the evangelist. They don't know just what to preach each and every time, both at the retreat and here at our church and at the pastor's fellowship. He'll preach once on that Monday after the retreat, all right? Philippians chapter 1 here tonight. If you know the answer, raise your hand. Who wrote the book of Philippians? Let's go here tonight. Jane, do you know that answer? Paul, look at that. She didn't even raise her hand. I called on her, and she didn't get scared, all right? So that's pretty good, all right? So Paul wrote the book of Philippians. Now, where is Philippi, the city of Philippi, located? You can give me either currently today if you wanted to go see it, because you could visit it, or where was it located in that time of the world? Who knows here? We got one of our men know. One of our men know. Where was the city of Philippi? Anybody know what's the region it was in or where would it be today? I heard of Macedonia. All right. Macedonia, that's the area. That's the section. All right. That would be like saying here in the United States, out west or the south, where it's sort of a region. It's a large region. Macedonia. All right. So that's where Philippi was. Today, if you wanted to go, say, hey, we're going to go on an anniversary trip, honey. It's our 48th anniversary. All right. Why wait till the big ones? All right. To keep you surprised, we're going to go and we're going to go to this country. And it's a beautiful country. We're going to get to see some beautiful sites. But you know what? There's some also very historical biblical sites that'll be neat to visit. Where would you go? Where would you go, Pat? Where would you go to see Philippi? Asia Minor? Well, close. Maybe back in those days they'd call it that, but it's close to Asia Minor. Where would you go? How about one of the Kramer young ladies? Did I do that with tactfulness? Turkey? Oh, it's close. You're near it, but not quite. All right. Anybody about Miss Chris? Greece. All right, there you go. Being the country of Greece, all right. That area there, not too far from where Monica and her husband are from, Bulgaria. That little area over there, beautiful country. And right there on the Mediterranean, lots of coves and inlets and caves and beautiful things. You could visit Philippi. You could visit Thessalonica. You could visit Corinth. You could visit a lot of those kind of things. Athens, follow a lot of the book of Acts while you're over there. And that'd be a great place to go and visit. Very good. All right. Now, what men were with Paul when he was at Philippi? Let's get one of our two guys right here. What men, when we're in the book of Acts and Paul is first going to Philippi for the first time, who was with him? Steve, Jeff, Timothy. All right, they had picked up Timothy at Lystra and Derbe and brought him with them. Anybody else? Silas, all right, because Paul and Silas were thrown in jail at Philippi, all right, and we would say maybe one more unnamed, but Dr. Luke, because you read Acts 16, it says we, so we believe Luke may have been from Philippi or Troas and joined the group there. So picture those men, they come to Philippi. Who's the very first convert, not only in Philippi, but in all of Europe there? Who was the first convert? Lydia, all right, a woman, Lydia, seller of purple, there in Philippi, the first convert there as Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke are in that city. So first, what we would call European, all right, at least on European soil there in that place. Where was Paul writing this letter, though, from? Was he in Philippi, Brian, when he was writing this? He says, I really don't know. What about you, Shannon? When Paul was writing this letter to the believers at Philippi, Was he in Philippi? Where were you? Where was he? You're going to guess what? House arrest. All right, good guess. All right. He is in prison because several times, Nathan, he says what? What phrase does he use? You remember? My bonds. Remember me, or my bonds, all right? Literally, my chains. He's chained. He may not be in the dungeon, as we mentioned, but he's chained to a guard or two under what would be more of a house arrest, more freedom than would be in what we would call the dungeon there, which later on he would be in. So here's a man. He's faithfully served the Lord for a long time. He's had a lot of miles on his legs, in ships. He's had a lot of persecution. And he's now in jail, in prison of some kind, we would say at Rome. But he's writing a letter to others, other believers. Doesn't say he's writing a letter to his congressman, although it's nothing wrong with that, or his senator, or get me out of here. Doesn't mean those things are wrong. Probably didn't have a lot that he could do back then, all right? I appeal to Caesar, and he's going to go to Caesar, all right? And he could be thinking about those bonds. Those could aggravate him. He could focus on, you ever do that? We our flesh will focus on a circumstance. Or the guards become the enemy. Or Rome. And then we just focus on something external or even internal. And yet you know that Paul is not doing that. This book is full of joy. This one of the big words is joy. Rejoice. Peace. I thank God for you. My joy, my crown, rejoicing. You're like, what? All right? Is this guy for real? Is he just faking it? Those people make me sick. You know, sometimes you'll have believers that are always grouchy and grumpy and, I wouldn't want to be around him. You know, that's wrong with you. All right? Well, no. Is this real? This is real. Here's a man, Paul, in jail, in his bonds, writing a letter to fellow believers in the town of Philippi. So let's read the first 11 verses here tonight. Are you picturing it now? Now, is he actually writing with his own hand? I don't know. It's believed that he had poor eyesight. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Was he able to with being in the bonds? We have no idea. It appears that he could have companions, and could be that Timothy was the actual writer as Paul's dictating it. It could have been Luke. It could have been, as sometimes the study Bible says here, could have been Epaphroditus. We don't really know, but we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so here's Paul writing a letter, dictating a letter to the brethren. When's the last time he's seen them? I don't know. Is he picturing in his mind Lydia? Probably. That first time, first person that trusted Christ. Lydia's whole household, wow. The jailer? The Philippian jailer? Absolutely. His whole household. Some other believers, we don't know their names perhaps, and he's thinking of them fondly, and he begins to write, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this all seems backwards, doesn't it? You say it should be the church at Philippi writing him. And they should be saying, all the saints at Philippi, servants of the Lord, to our beloved apostle Paul, Paul, cheer up. Paul, grace and peace to you. Paul, don't quit. No, but it's reversed. That doesn't mean they didn't write to him. But it's the one in jail writing to those not in jail, wishing and asking them for grace. And oh, peace be to you. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. What's Paul so confident about in jail? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will finish it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. Here's the line we're going to look at tonight. Because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, for ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record. Maybe if you're hearing this, you're probably like, this is way too good to be true. Is this guy for real? Is he just saying this? For God is my record, verse 8. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you think Paul's prayer every day was, Lord, remember all the people at Philippi? I just pray for Philippi every day. Lord, be with the saints of Philippi. I just pray for them every day. Do you see what he just said? He had specific prayer requests that he was praying all the time there. Verse 9, this I pray. What does he pray for them? Your love may abound. Oh, God, I pray for those. Oh, may their love abound more and more. Well, what else? That they may approve things that are excellent. What else? That they could be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. What else? That they might be. Whoa, now that's specific, detailed prayer before God for, wow. When I read that, I'm like, ugh. My prayer requests are, and I'm pretty weak. I mean, I might pray that way for me. I mean, I could be very specific when it's me. Or my family. Hey, Lord, here's what we need. Lord, I pray, you know, okay, well, yeah, help Josh and Marissa, you know, and Brian, Lord, encourage Brian. And Pat, don't forget about Pat there. Help him as he works today. And yeah, be with Steve and Chris and now, there's times we might not always be able to put in a long, detailed, we understand that, but you say, well, be careful now. You know, if I was in prison, I would do that. Was that what you want to do? You want to try that? If I had lots of time, I don't know. When you're on vacation, do you have lots of time? When I'm on vacation, I have lots of time. Do I pray much? Do I read my Bible? Sometimes we'll say those things, but it's not always true. Well, I'm so busy, I don't have time to read Bible. Well, when you do have time, do you? You know, teens would say all the time, we'd like, really? Well, how about you were out of school for 2 weeks over Christmas, you read your Bible? Well, then it must not be time. Or the same thing works for me, you know. Even if we're sick for 4 or 5 days, we miss it, and we don't have a whole lot to do. But the flesh, we're not prone to do those things. Pray or read the scriptures. And here's a man in jail. We would say, he doesn't sound like he's thinking a lot of himself. What's the secret? You ever have people that, what's the secret to joy? Maybe they go to the book, they Google that. Here's a book, 25 Steps to Joy. You know, maybe it's by Joel Osteen. Maybe it's by a special speaker, a motivational life coach. All right? And they may have Bible principles in there, right? Marry hard, do good like medicine. All right? But how about we read the book of Philippians to see if there's any secrets to joy? How about this? Focus and live for others. How about know the brethren by name and the saints? Be addicted to the ministry of others. And be amazed, right? We sing the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it what? Will surprise you what the Lord has done. I guess the Lord has done a bunch. And then we get our attention necessarily, and then we can start living for others, and J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you, those kind of things maybe we learned when we were little. But again, that first opening verse, Paul, and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. I mean, if anybody wanted to brag, Paul could brag, right? He'll allude to that later in chapter 3. When you read his letters, if he says stuff like this, like, I speak foolishly, he'll say that. I speak foolishly, meaning, okay, what I'm about to say, I'm speaking foolishly, you want to brag? You want to brag, chapter 3? You want to compare credentials? You want to get up here and see who's got, okay. What things were gained to me, those were lost for Christ. But if anybody could brag and say, how about you just drop a name there? How about you say the apostle? or the servants of Jesus Christ. This church was very close to Paul's heart, and Paul was very close to their heart. No need to mention apostle, no need to remind any of that. We are servants of Jesus Christ, and I'm writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus. What makes you a saint? Those next three words. In Christ Jesus. That's what makes you a saint. I'm not a saint just because I stopped and visited Monica today and brought her flower. And afterwards, she goes, isn't he a saint? I don't know if she said that. She went, isn't he a saint? Now, I'm a saint whether I stopped and visited her or not, whether I brought flowers or not, whether I made a hospital visit or not, whether I call. That doesn't make me a saint. Now, that's how we like to use that. Aren't they a saint? Oh, my goodness, so nice and kind. You know, those kind of things. And we can do those things and not even really care a whole lot. A saint is a set apart, sanctified, made holy one by Jesus Christ. It's our position as a believer in Jesus Christ, not our disposition or our character. Although, as we've said before, and we'll say it again, as a child of God, as a believer, as a Christian, as a Christ follower, our disposition, our character, our outward ought to match the inward. There ought to be no difference. Not, well, I'm a saint in the name, but other than that, you don't want to be around them. Well, no, we ought to be all that God wants us to be. We ought to be like Jesus Christ. And Paul is writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, or the church at Philippi. And then he mentions two offices here, doesn't he? Bishops and deacons. Bishop has the idea where we get the word presbytery today, like the Presbyterian type thing there. That has really to do with the office, the position of a pastor, of overseer, shepherd, and deacon, meaning servant, there in the church at Philippi. I'm going to press on, but I want to look at verse number 7. Paul says, verse number 7, even as it is meet or proper or good for me to think this of you all. Now, a lot of people like to joke and say, see, Paul was a Southerner. You see how many times he says you all? Now, he doesn't say it like Southerners, like my wife, y'all. I don't do that, all right? I still say you guys normally sometimes. But I was in a text message sometimes say, how are you all doing? All right, I'll fool around and say yin sometimes if I want to be Pittsburgh, all right, or, goof around. But I don't say y'all like my wife does and stuff. But Paul, people say, well, he keeps saying, I have you all, I have y'all in my heart. But he says, because I have you in my heart. Let's just look at that phrase for 5 minutes here tonight as we bring it to a conclusion here. I hit on this last week, and the Lord's been hitting on this today, and it's probably going to hit on it again on Sunday, all right, Sunday morning. Do you, now use personal, that means I'm asking Kelly, not Kelly for her mom. I'm asking Joan, not Joan for Lisa. I'm asking Pat, not Pat for Nathan. I'm asking Dwayne, do you have a love for the brethren? I didn't say some brethren. Do you have a love for the brethren? You say, well, who are the brethren? Well, we're talking about specifically the local church brethren. Now, we should have a love. Hey, we go to the men's retreat. You know what? That's pretty awesome. This will be my fifth one. Some of you, maybe 30 or more. We get there, and now there's going to be some new guys there, but a lot of them are brethren. Now, we don't know who's saved, who's not. We're not the Lord, but for many of them, based on testimonies we've heard and trust their walk with the Lord, many will be brethren. But they go to a different church. They're not. They're in a different town, different community, different state. But we gather together as men or young men at a retreat for a day or two or 24 hours. We get to mingle with brethren. Break up and pray with some men we don't know that well and pray as brethren. That's great. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy seeing some of the men at the pastor's fellowship there. But they're not part of the local brethren of IBC. We ought to have a love for all brethren, but the Bible says we ought to have a love for the brethren of our own local assembly. Galatians, do good unto all men, especially of the household of faith. All right? Paul here is writing to a local church at Philippi. He will write to other churches. Doesn't mean he didn't love them. But this church at Philippi had a deep love for. He says, I have you in my heart. Do you have a love for the brethren? Do you have a love for the brethren at IBC? If you pick up a church directory, now that doesn't mean I know everyone's testimony in here. That doesn't mean everybody in here comes physically or regularly. And that doesn't mean that because their name's in here, it could be a spouse that doesn't attend. It could be children that don't attend. It could be whatever. But by and large, this has a record of the folks that make up the assembly here for the most part. And obviously, some folks have come in through the year and may not be in here. But I went through this. Now, there are 39 missionaries or ministries in here. 39, counting the two new ones we just took on. That's not individuals. That's not husband, wife, kids. That's 39. There are missionary family. Do you know them? Do you know their names? Do you pray for them? Do you love them? Do you read their letters? Do you get excited about a missionary letter? 29 children. 29. Could you name half? 29 children. 11 teenagers. 142 adults. You know them? You love them? You say, well, how do you develop a love for the saints? How do you do that? I mean, I mean, we understand if someone's coming in just first time or visitor, but how do you develop a love for the brethren, the saints? Let me give you these quick, and we'll come back to this probably next week. Number one, first, you've got to be one of the brethren. You've got to be one. You've got to be part of it. You've got to know Christ. For instance, I'm a Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R. That's my family. I was born into that family. Now, there's another family I'm associated with now. It's called the, a lot of people don't know my wife's maiden name. That'd be a good trivia question. All right, I should hold that one. All right. She's a Tessineer. Not one you probably heard of. A Tessineer. Tessineer, T-E-S-S-E-N-E-E-R. That's an unusual name. I'd never heard of that before until I saw that in the Pensacola yearbook beside a good-looking girl. Oh, okay. From Kings Mountain, North Carolina. That's, oh, okay. All right, Tessineer. Now, that's a fairly common name down south. Now, I'm in that family. Now, I wasn't born in that family. But I was sort of adopted into that family now, all right? And, you know, you've got to be one of the brethren. You've got to be born again to be in God's family. When you're in God's family, you become a saint. You become a brethren. You should be part of a local assembly. God has, I believe, commanded us to do that. Number two, though, you've got to know the brethren. You've got to know them. You've got to know their first name. You've got to know their last name. You've got to know their family. You've got to know their children. You've got to know where they live. You've got to get now. You say, well, not everybody's easy to know. Oh, we understand that. There's people that don't want it. They're very reserved. That's okay. All right. You've got to know the brethren. You've got to know the boys and girls. You've got to know the children. You've got to know the teens. You've got to know the older folks. You've got to know them. You want to love the brethren. How can you love someone you don't really know? It's not really possible. You say, well, I can love God, but to know somebody, you spend time with them. How do you love the brethren? Well, let me ask you another question. You say, well, okay, if we're part of a local assembly, how in the world am I going to get, if there's 142 adults, I can't, even if I visited one per week, that's 3 years. Well, I wonder if the brethren ever get together in large groups. When during the year or the week would the brethren be gathered together in large groups? Oh, church services, church events. That's large groups of the brethren coming together. Now, can everybody go to every single thing? Church events on the calendar? Of course not. We've got a calendar here, and there's some things are just ladies. Some are men. Some are teens. But we can go to a lot of those. That's usually where the brethren gather, Sundays and Wednesdays. Do you know them? Are you with them? You say, well, what else do you have to do? You have to spend time with them, don't you? You got to talk to them. You got to listen. Listening just as much as talking. You've got to pray with them. You got to play with them. Do games. You got to do stuff. You've got to walk with them. You've got to work with them. You've got to visit them. You've got to encourage them. You've got to know them. You've got to pray with them. You've got to pray for them. How many times did Paul say that? I have you in my heart. Now, how do you have brethren on your heart? You have to. It's impossible unless you're always with them or spending a lot of time with them or you're praying often with them and doing things with them, because that's the stuff that sticks in your mind. There's some people, they listen to news all day. All they think about is the news. Doesn't mean that's a sin. That's all they think about. There's some people that read books all day. All they think about is the book world they're in. There's some people watch sports all day. All they think about is sports. There's some people that during the day, all they do, and that's, we understand that. What goes in is what we think about. We meditate on those things during the day. All right, some of us, we focus only on problems, so all day we're stressed and worried and anxious. Paul said, I have you in my heart. I'm praying for you always. I'm thanking God for you always. I'm concerned about you. And by the way, this is just one church. Lest we think Paul was just exclusively on them. Read the other letters. Read the other individuals. Read the weight of the churches, Paul said. Not only that, I've got the weight of all the churches upon me. That's a huge burden. Pastor, I did it for 44 years and still does in some ways. That was just one local church. In a way, he's going around and helping some other ones. He might say, that's a lot too. I'm trying to help this church. Paul said, I've got the weight and the burden of many of these churches on me. Not to mention outward persecution, physical frailties, health, and all the other things. That's a huge burden. And yet Paul says, I pray for you daily. I love you. I think of you. Later in the book of Philippians, he's going to say, I long to know how you're doing. In fact, I'm going to send people personally to go check on you. I'm sending Timothy. I've got to know how you're doing. I've got to know. I long to come see you. Wow. I've got to think often of the brethren. I've got to communicate often with them. Paul communicated verbally, personal visits. Now, he didn't call on the phone, did he? Writing letters, getting letters perhaps from them, sending people to visit them. Wow. All right? And you say, well, what was the secret of Paul's success? How could he say in prison, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain? How could he say in prison, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? How could he say in prison, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? How could he say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice? How could he say, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content? He wasn't focused on himself. He was living the scriptures. He was living other epistles he wrote. For even Christ pleased not himself. Ye which are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Bear one another's burdens. What? Absolutely. Do good to all men, especially of the household of faith. We're not here to please ourselves. We're here to please others. What? That's the Christian life. And when you do that, wow, I've got joy and peace and purpose that God, how did I get that? I'm living out the Bible. I'm living out the scriptures. Even in difficult situations, even chained to two guards. Well, our time is up. Question is, how well do you know the brethren? Do you seek to know the brethren? Are you satisfied with the brethren you know? Now, as a longtime youth pastor, my ministry was young people, not adults. So on Wednesdays, I was downstairs all the time. Sunday school, I'm with the teens. Activities, mission trips, camps, I was teens, most of the time. So my preaching was the teens. And so let me tell you how it works with teens. Maybe it doesn't work out with adults, but it does. We're going to go to a winter youth teen retreat or rally with other teens. Say, all right, guys, you guys need to mingle, get with everybody, make some new friends. Right? All right, especially nowadays with phones, the kids don't know how to socialize. All right, oh, my word, they don't even know what to do. Go over and here's what they... I remember one time we had a young man came as a visitor, sat on the bus, and five or six kids walked by and did this. Hi. Sat, and then the whole rest of the trip. I mean, like an hour trip, never even looked or talked to him. That happens a lot in churches with adults. They think that's friendly. Hi, how you doing? I mean, the kids sat there all by himself the whole time, the entire trip. Now, it's not easy to do as a young person. Sometimes young people have got to be trained, right? And, but what happened? And so what we would see, we'd say, oh, sometimes like, oh, my goodness, every time they always are doing this, or I'm not seeing them mingle. The kids aren't talking to the adults aren't talking to the kids. And sometimes that's a hard thing as a shepherd of a flock. And so a lot of times we'd do a youth rally or something like that. You know what they had to do? We'd go ready to eat lunch, go down for the meal. Because if you let them in there and sit wherever they want, they're going to sit by the same people every single time. Every single time. And so our goal was to stir them up, not to make them comfortable. And so you know what they had to do? That, something I learned at Circle K camp, they had to reach through and put their hand in the coffee pot and pull out a number. Like, oh, great. And each table place had a number. So number 18, you had no idea who you were sitting with every time. All right, I was like, oh, man. Every once in a while, we'd say, free for all, sit wherever you want tonight. But that was the camp I grew up going to where Brother Fry, yeah, same thing. You had to do that every time. Oh, great. You got to know so many people, different people. I used to love that. All right? And even if you're a person that's bashful, all right? Hey, what are we saying? Sometimes it's easy. We only have a little group or we know a certain amount of people, and we're happy with that. But the question is this, is God happy with that? Is that what God wants? Is that what the scriptures dictate? What is a love for the brethren? What does it mean to minister to the needs of the brethren? What does it mean to love and to pray and I have you on my heart? You say, well, I pray through the directory. Great, I hope you do. Or be with Gary Quick, help Ariel, be with Gladys. Hey, I hope it's more than that. But I'll tell you, if you pray through the directory and pray through names, you'll find out you'll have them on your heart. You visit them, you'll find you have them on your heart. You go personally spend time with them or have them to your home, you'll find you have them, they'll be on your heart. You'll know when they're not there. You'll pay special. You prayed for 10 minutes for Josh and his wife. You'll know if Josh and his wife are at church or not. You'll know if you pray for Chris Wilson for 20 minutes, you'll notice Chris Wilson at church and you'll notice if she's discouraged because you prayed for her and she's on your heart. You go make a personal visit to a shut-in, you'll remember that shut-in. You were there. All right, that's what the Bible's teaching, and that's what God wants all of us to do, even with busy schedules and families and homes and times. Paul says, I have you on my heart. I pray for you always. I love you. I think of you. I long to see you. May we have a love for the brethren. May we love God's people. May we love all people, but especially those of the household of faith. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to meet together. Lord, no doubt here in Northeast PA, there are some churches gathered together tonight that may only have 2, 3, 4 people tonight in person, but yet they're assembling together for prayer, for a Bible study, for encouragement. Lord, you're just as pleased with that group as a church tonight meeting that has 500. Lord, we're grateful that we can assemble together. We know there are many watching that would love, absolutely love, give everything they had to be back in church, to be able to see people, talk with people, laugh, hug, pray. Some of our shut-ins who just aren't able to come anymore, Lord. Some because of distance on a dark Wednesday night, sometimes because of driving, road conditions. But there are quite a few, Lord, who just are not able to be here. Lord, we're grateful that we can meet together. May we never take for granted our health. May we never take for granted our situation in life. May we never take for granted, Lord, our own life every day. Lord, may we have a love for the brethren. May we think of them. May we pray for them. May we visit. May we spend time with them. May we have them over and be hospitable. Oh, Lord, may we minister to them. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a unified church in mind and in body and in spirit. A deep love for the brethren and a desire to minister to them as you desire. Thank you, Lord, for our brethren. Thank you for visitors. Thank you for children, our teens, our adults. Thank you, Lord, for our elderly, our shut-ins, our widows, our widowers. Thank you for the very ministries we support, the many missionaries we support, the many friends of this church. Lord, may we do our part in loving them, praying for them, knowing them, and keeping them on our heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.